Hey, welcome to the Motorcycles and Misfits at the Recycle Garage. This is the podcast, but I guess you figured that out if you're listening. So we've been gone a while. If you found us, thanks for keeping up with us. We've been here and we've been recording. We lost our producer, Zoe. She's been out for medical reasons, and we're still going. We've also been trying out new equipment, which is why this is the second take tonight.
Give me a break.
Because Douglas is also filling producer shoes, and apparently his start finger button doesn't work. Start finger doesn't work?
No, my finger button works.
Your button finger works?
My button finger.
he's been fingering the button just fine.
I've been fingering
fine,
this button just fine. Who needs their button fingered?
But we are here. Come down to the garage. Tonight we have me, Liza. We have Douglas.
I'm here, sort of.
We have Lucas.
What's up?
And Mike, a.k.a. Hard Ass.
Hello. Ooh.
That's quite the title.
Oh.
We'll
get into that.
Mike the Hard Ass.
Oh, jeez.
Oh,
so, we realized that Lucas has been coming here a while and been on a lot of these podcasts, but we never did a get to know. So we're going to get to know Lucas.
I want to know.
So, how long have you been riding?
This December will mark my two-year mark.
And you were talking before about how you got into riding.
Yeah. Well, you also asked me about my experience. You know, I've ridden pretty much every day since I, you know, had a bike, you know, since my first bike. So I've got kind of a lot of miles under my belt right now, but...
Well, you said you've been riding almost 2 years.
So you're saying, how did I get into riding?
How did you get into it? Because usually a lot of us start when we're young, or you're obsessed when you're young. You just keep begging for
really?
A bike.
Yeah. Well, you know, I noticed that a lot of the people my age, I mean, I started at age 19. All the people I know who ride on campus started around the same time. You know, I started in my first year of college.
When you get away from your parents.
Yeah. there's less oversight. but I actually first started on a motorcycle that I got from my uncle. He got in a minor accident. But I guess it scared him enough to not want to continue riding. Because, you know, I mean, he's a family man and everything. So he just was like, fuck this shit. Like, too dangerous for me. So he was nice enough to kind of gift it to us. My dad got his motorcycle certification, and, you know, he was riding it. And then I was like, well, you know, one night I just went and I sat on it, and I was just like, damn, this thing looks cool. So I guess I just decided to go take MSF and see where that took me. So that's basically how I got into it.
I know this is Lucas's get to know, but real quick, if you want to see my first ride, reach up underneath that turn signal. There's a photo. Yes.
All right.
That's my first ride.
I am looking at this photo, and...
What do you see? Describe it.
Basically, I see two adults, a man and a woman, riding on some tiny little scooter-like thingy, and then there is a small baby Liza sandwiched in between them.
In a backpack.
She's in the dude's backpack.
And those are my parents.
And yeah. you are wearing like a red riding hood style hood.
Yes.
With a little, oh, that is amazing.
It was the 60s.
She's wearing some.
This needs to go on the website. You know this now.
We need to like so scan this in.
Yeah, we need to get a scanner. Yeah. We need to take a photo of it.
Your
parents
haven't figured out how to...
Liza, your parents are squids.
We'll work that out.
Well, funny story is he went around the block, it scared him, and he gave it away. That was the one day he owned it.
He looks like he's having hella fun in that picture.
I know.
Maybe he's having, like, terror poof. I don't know.
So your uncle gave you the bike?
Well, he gave it to my dad. And, you know, my dad was riding it. And, I mean, I don't know what his interest in it was, but... He eventually let me use it, like, you know, it was free if he added me on his insurance. So, I mean, I started riding that thing. I remember the very first time I took it down the street, I went to the stop sign, and I braked too hard, and then it started to, like, fall over, and I'm like, fuck, and it fell over on me.
Like, everybody's done that.
I dropped the bike, like, after 100 feet.
Oh, not everybody does that, but...
Wait, have you mentioned which kind of bike it was?
It was an 87 EX500.
Same thing that Megan has.
Yeah. Well, Megan's is like a 91, I think. Mine was 87.
So, how many bikes have you owned? What bikes?
That was my first bike. After that, I got my, I think in April of 2012, 2012.
He's the first one to throw out dates.
Yeah. Well, it's been 2 years. I can remember all this shit. In April of 2012, I got my, it's a 1997 CBR 600 F3, which I actually really like. I still ride it.
That's the one you brought today, right? That's not the RR.
Yeah, that's, I've been riding it because my 600
RR. Except you sold
RR
it to your brother.
I sold it.
There were air quotes involved.
As in he paid me money and I added him on my insurance so he can ride it whenever he wants. Because, I mean, like, I'll talk about my brother later if you want to ask. But anyway.
you can tell it's a younger brother.
Yeah. I got the 600 F3 and, you know, I still have it. It's gone through quite a lot. It's been dropped. It's been crashed, both by me and my brother. And, it's almost been stolen. That was my almost stolen bike. So, maybe I should talk about that too, but later. So yeah, I got that. And then back around January of 2012, I got a 2005 ZX6R. The F3 was like having mechanical troubles and I'm like, man, I kind of want like a more modern bike that I don't have to worry about reliability. Little did I know that the F3 is actually pretty reliable. It's just that the electronics just fuck up and die because, you know, it's a Honda. Right. But I got a 2005 ZX6R. It had, like, an absolute buttload of mods.
Is this the one you crashed?
No, I never crashed that. I have not crashed a bike or even put down a bike since I bought that. So I've been pretty good for the last year. So, yeah, that was a really fun bike. It had lots of torque. It was pretty fast. It had some aftermarket sprockets that turned it into a wheelie machine. It was super fun. And I sold it to, like, the biggest squid I've ever seen in my fucking life so he could stunt on it.
I remember you saying something about a bike. I wish you'd seen the bike I sold to some squid.
Yeah. He was the squidliest dude I've ever seen in my life. It was funny. And after I sold that, I bought my 2006 CBR 600 RR. I still have that now, sitting in my garage. Got to figure out what the hell's wrong with it.
You should really take it to Rich.
I can't take it to Rich, dude. It can't go anywhere.
We can trail it.
I'd rather take it. I'd rather take it to We All Ride because it's a lot closer.
No,
so.
Rich is
Rich closer than We All Ride?
Well, he's right
Rich
off
is
the closer 17th, than We All Ride. So.
Rich is probably more reasonable too.
Yeah, they quoted me at 90 an hour. Let's see what Rich says. But so that's the bike I have now. I really like that bike. It's got, you know, like a full system Yoshimura fender eliminator.
Really cool plastics, man.
Yeah, you guys keep fucking hating on me. It's got those aftermarket movie star fairings, like the, I don't know.
It's
is it like
sponsor?
It's like a World Superbike replica fairings or something.
Was this the one with all the stickers on it?
Not stickers.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Painted on the fairings.
I'm sorry. Let me rephrase. Is this one with all the bullshit on it?
Yeah, that's the one.
I've seen that.
Man, you guys is just jelly. You jelly, bro. I don't know. I really like it. It's a really light bike and it handles really well compared to the ZX6R. It's so much better. That bike, like, you have to manhandle.
You are pretty fast on that bike. I mean, I've ridden with you.
Yeah.
I couldn't keep up.
I can still do better than that.
Okay, I got two more questions for you.
Yeah, go for it.
You know what the last one's going to be, so we'll save that. Okay. But this is a variation of it. If you could have any bike on any ride, like a dream ride, what would it be? You don't get to keep the bike, but just like, what would be, like, what's something like you've always wanted to do, like tour Europe or do an Iron Butt or...
Good question.
You know what I mean?
The answer is I would like the Panigale 1199 Superleggera at Nürburgring. I think they closed Nürburgring. I'm hella fucking disappointed. But
really?
Yeah, I think they closed it. It had like funding issues or something. But I think it's awesome they had like a public
access
racetrack.
They didn't get enough money from Top Gear?
They certainly got enough publicity.
I know.
But yeah, I mean, I guess deep down I'm kind of like a... You know, died in the wool sport rider. I still had
so
a lot
just
of...
just fast. You want to go fast.
Well, here's the thing.
Why,
like,
don't go to Bonneville and do
well, that's,
that?
Well, that's because that's going in a straight line. I mean, most of the fun of riding a motorcycle is cornering, you know? If you go out to, like, fucking Omaha, Nebraska, all the dudes on sport bikes have, like, extended swing arms, like 360 tires, because there are no turns.
Well, what's the fastest you've ridden?
Oh, I don't know if I should say.
No one's going to bust you here.
Okay. I think it was like 145. That was really fucking scary. Yeah. I've never, like, here's the thing.
On which bike?
That was on the F3. That was like years ago, but I mean,
how many years ago?
Like one. Which no, one? It was more than a year. It was like 18 months ago. No, it was more than that. It was like 20 months ago. But like the point is, you know, I still like riding other bikes. I rode Doug's DRZ today, and I thought that was fucking awesome.
Oh, that's a nice bike.
Because it was rad. It was really fun, you know, and I was trying to be all supermoto style and everything. But, you know, just a real thrill to me is, you know, just negotiating corners real well, you know, handling, braking capabilities. And, you know, I've rode on the track and everything, and some people are like, once you go track, you never go back. But I actually kind of prefer street riding. It's a lot different, you know. And I don't know, I guess maybe I'm just deep down an adrenaline junkie and I'm like, let's go do some ridiculous, crazy shit.
So, final question. And I think you understand the question part enough. What is your up the butt bike? You'll get to keep this one. It'll sit in your garage or your living room, wherever you want it.
I think you have
to pay the ultimate price.
It would definitely be the $11.99 Super Leggera.
Really?
Because that is like just the most unbelievable fucking bike ever. It weighs 322 pounds wet. It's like nothing, and it's got, I think, like 190 brake horsepower. Just like, it's insane. It's a race machine. So I would definitely have that. And I mean, if I could sell it, I could buy like 10 other bikes. So.
It's planning for the future.
Exactly. That's right.
It's a mercenary impulse on top of that. Everything.
That's basically how I get my bikes, you know.
Well, cool. Well, is there anything else you want the people to know about you?
Have I ever on the podcast mentioned the dudes who tried to steal my bike?
No.
No, I don't think I've heard this story. Go for it. It's your moment to shine.
All right. I've told this story plenty of times already. Let's see. Basically, back in, what was it? It was summer ago, so this was August of 2012. I was living in a house on a street that was on the corner of Western and another street. And so it was right on the corner. Basically, it was a house with like seven other people in it. And I was just subleasing this guy's room for the summer only. And the people who already lived there had like the garage blocked off and like turned it into a room, which I know is illegal. But I mean, what the hell am I going to do, right?
Right.
It's not my business. But I didn't have any place to park my bike except for on the street. So I figured, whatever. I mean, it's just an old bike. Nobody will care about it. So... And I mean, I had a cover for it too. So I would park it outside my room, which was on the bottom corner, closest to the street corner. Park it right outside my window so I could keep an eye on it, you know, and keep it covered. I figured nothing that bad will happen, right? So just chilling one night. It was actually pretty early in the morning. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what I was. Oh, yeah. I was watching movies on Netflix with a wicked bad case of insomnia. And as luck would have it, I'm just sitting there, chilling, watching movies, and I just get like this. I learned after I crashed my first bike to follow your intuition, because if something feels wrong, you should just don't do it.
You gotta listen to that.
You gotta listen to that little voice in your head. It's your sixth sense. Pay attention. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there, and I start feeling anxious, and I'm like, I should go check on my bike. For whatever reason, that was the absolute perfect time, because I go up and I peek through the blinds out the window, and it's really dark. Fucking Santa Cruz has like no street lights for whatever reason. I peek through the blinds, and right outside my window, there's like four or five dudes loading my bike into a pickup truck. And even when I think about it again, I still feel like that little surge of adrenaline that felt. It was like, wait, I was like, what is going on? Like, what am I seeing? And then, like, a half second later, I was like, holy fuck, they're stealing my bike. And I went and I grabbed my, like, big-ass combat knife. And I ran out on my porch and was like motherfucking Conan, like, in my underwear. With my big-ass knife. And I just screamed at them, I will fucking murder you. And they just looked at me and they just had like dinner plate eyes. And they dropped my bike and they just split. Like, one dude ran around the corner. Two guys got in the truck and like just fucking peeled out and dropped my bike, and one guy runs down the street, and I'm, like, charging at them with my fucking knife, so they're just, like, out of there.
When you tell this story in the future, change it to a samurai. It's a little bit better visual. Keep going.
I should really get, like, a katana.
Well, I'm imagining the Crocodile Dundee knife. Yeah, that's closer to it.
Did you puncture the tires on the truck?
I didn't get close enough. They peeled out that fast.
Probably, like, for the best.
I just fucking charged at him, and then two guys... maybe even three. There was four or five. I'm not sure exactly, but
there was like eight or nine dudes,
and they were
huge.
They were huge. They were like fucking kids. They were like my age, you know. But like they all peel out, and this one guy is just running down the street the other direction, and the street is pretty long, so he's just running for like a good minute or a half or something, just running down the street, and I'm just fucking cursing him. He's like, "You fucking pussy! You come back here, I will fucking kill you." And I can't do the voice because, like, honestly, I had no idea I could sound that scary. But, like, I probably made them shit their pants.
I'm putting you on speed dial in case anyone's ever stealing a bike or look out the window.
I just want to say after this story, I have this great image of you sort of squatting in your underwear outside your house right next to your bike, just sharpening your knife and grunting like, "Rrr, rrr. Let them come back."
I actually, what I did was, I was so amped from the encounter, I picked up my bike and just parked it, and I just went back inside, and I just like paced in the hallway for like an hour or two because this is so worked up.
Grunting, call the cops or anything? Hopefully,
I didn't call the fucking cops. I realized I should have, but like all my friends are like, "Why didn't you call the cops?" I'm like, "Cause it wasn't an emergency." And they're like,
"You're like, I took care of it."
Yeah. I'm like, because the way
what
I saw
what are they
going
to do, really?
The way
they're
I saw
show
it.
Show up and be like, yeah. Okay.
The way I saw it, we'll get nobody on it. Got hurt. There was minimal property damage. Well, I guess it was kind of significant on my bike's end, but like, nobody got hurt. They probably would not find them anyway. So I was just like, whatever. And I was honestly just waiting to see if they would come back. Because if they came back, I was fucking ready. Like, I was ready to go to war over that shit. But that's basically the whole story. They kind of shitted up my bike a little bit. It was fresh. I mean, for a 97, you know, my other people were just like, "Dude, that's a 97. Like,
what
thing,
was it, 97 what?
Good. What?
Was it 97 what?
My F3 is 97.
Okay, the one you got outside here?
Yeah.
That's why it's jacked up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like, people told me it looked fresh. Like, it was a cool-looking bike. All the fairings were in pristine condition. You know, this guy had taken very good care of it for the last, I don't know, 15 or so years. Basically, after that, you know, the fairings got cracked and rashed up. They warped my disc rotor. They just basically made my awesome, sexy-looking bike fucking ugly, and I'm hella mad about that. And if I ever find who they are, there will be fucking
Bondo
justice.
We have spray paint. I mean...
we can fix anything.
I'm experienced in that.
It's too far gone for that. Both my brother and I have crashed it since then, so it's just a rat bike now. I sold to him, he's gonna just turn it into a street fighter.
It's not that bad.
But that's what he wants, though.
Once everything's gone and you really fucking crash it, then go ahead and street fight.
But that's what he wants. You know, it's his. I sold it to him.
He and Donut both, I guess.
Well.
So I got a question for you, Lucas.
Yeah.
For our listeners that don't know, the Slugs of Anarchy is a riding club.
Yeah.
Up at the UC Santa Cruz. Because they're the Banana Slugs. What do you think you can get out of being in the Slugs of Anarchy? What's in it for you?
Aside from the great fucking name?
Yeah. I just like to be like, "Yeah, I'm the Slugs. The Slugs of Anarchy." Like, but...
Because he gets to be Papa.
Are you there just to school him all the time? Or
I've never been on a ride with him. So my expectations, I'm not exactly sure how to react, because, I mean, a few of them are kind of squiddly, but...
I think they're fairly new, right?
Robert seems to like know what the hell he's doing, so I want to see how good of a rider he is.
He's not bad,
cause like I don't want to sound like an egotistical douche, but like out of all the people I ride with, I kind of ride the fastest, and
didn't come across as douche at all.
But here's the thing, like I'm experienced enough to know that riding the fastest doesn't mean you're fucking cool. Like, that's what you think when you just start riding. You're like, haha, I'm faster than everyone. Like, when you ride in the street.
It means, well.
It means you're basically.
You have no fear. But you're just crazy. Fear
is good.
We'll get
to that in
my I don't have enough fear. But I don't know. I'm kind of really excited to get my 600RR back in business so I can go on a ride with them. But, I mean, hell, I'd probably take out my F3. And if I can take out my F3 and go faster than all of them, then, you know. That's that, right?
Right.
But I think it would be cool just to, you know, ride with some people who are kind of around my age level and everything. Because all of my riding friends are, like, older than me. So.
And there's a lot of bikes up on the university. And it's nice to see that some of the undergrads are sort of doing stuff together.
They really are. Cool.
They all ride old Honda Thumpers. They're like 70s Honda Thumpers.
No, they don't. They all ride. They ride thrashed sport
there's
bikes.
There's nothing wrong with Honda Thumpers.
No, there's nothing.
Let's actually use this to segue into what we did today and all the new people showed up. Because now suddenly all the students have discovered this free resource.
It was probably because I was writing all them notes.
So we had a bunch of new people today. First came Zach, who didn't bring his CB350, was it?
It was a 350, yeah. I don't know if it was a CB or not.
Was it a Honda?
Yeah.
It's a CB.
They made other bikes that, they made CLs that year, too.
Just saying.
You know, they made other bikes that year, you guys.
So, you want to talk about Douglas? He had it at his house, so you went up to his house with tools in hand
to check
it out.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It ran.
Okay. So
is that your report?
Right, that.
It ran.
So I took the starting fluid and the what do you call it? The battery jumper.
He said one cylinder was running.
He said one cylinder is running. I went up there and right away I noticed there was a big oil leak coming out of the top of the engine on the left side.
Yikes.
So then I checked the float bowl on the left hand where he said he wasn't firing. Gas came out, so I knew there was gas. We just tried to start it up to see what happened. So it started and then idled poorly. Tried to give a little bit gas. Every time he gave it gas, it would just die. Mm-hmm. Die. So I'm thinking too much air. And he's got velocity stacks on there. So it's basically like having nothing on there.
CV carbs, man.
So after tinkering about half an hour or so, we got it to idle semi-okay after adjusting the idle and the low-end mixture. Did not idle well or let you give it any kind of gas. Choke on, choke off.
Was it a good-looking bike? Or?
Yeah, it was a decent-looking bike. It looks like a lot of fun. It reminded me a lot of Jennifer's old bike.
Was it blue or the red?
It was not.
It was not a color?
It was not a color.
Had no color.
Yeah. It was black and chrome.
Oh. Okay. We also had Luke showed up on his FJ1200. 92, I believe.
With ABS.
With ABS
brakes.
That
really surprised me. I was like, a 92 with ABS?
Oh, yeah.
The Beamers had him.
But
He came here for help because
he could not change his headlight. He's like, I had the
That was so funny, dude.
And I'm all, you just gotta reach up underneath there, and then, there it is. There's the connector, and there's the rubber thing, and then there's a little clip. Oh, yeah, there it is. Here you go,
Doug pulled it out in literally 10 seconds. Like,
that's what I went through with Jonah that time, remember?
Yeah. Jeez.
You pull it out from the back, you guys, like, there's
like,
no
there
reason to take the fairing off.
Yeah,
usually that's the one
thing
that people replace by
themselves. And then what was the other thing?
Oh, he's like, okay, so it's what's an FJ 1200. It's a lot of bike, and he had, you know, like 5-year-old tires on there, so he was giving it gas and it was just spinning the back tire on the ground and not getting any traction. So that's dangerous.
His tires were old and like
brittle.
They felt like a linoleum floor.
I said it felt like porcelain. Yeah. It was. Ooh. I'm like, the reason you start doing burnouts at stoplights when you try and take off is because your tires are like made of porcelain. Like, you don't get grip. And were they even sport tires? Or they looked like
they
cruiser
touring,
tires.
They were
to
like
me.
Touring tires.
Yeah.
But they're from 08, I think.
Yeah, from 08.
They were just dry, dude. They were dried out.
Mm-hmm.
I told him to go touch my Q2 on my F3, and he's like, oh, I'm like, that's what it should feel like. So
so you run the Q2s on that F3?
Yeah, well, that was my brother's decision to put it off. Can I tell a little side story here? Funny,
go
amusing
ahead.
Anecdote. So basically, my 600RR got a flat, and I wanted to go get it changed as soon as possible because I had like some ride coming up or something. And the only people who could do it within a couple days were Road Rider in San Jose. So I took the wheel off of my CBR and strapped it to the tail of my F3 and drove it over 17. Rear? Yeah, drove it over 17 to Road Rider. They put on the new tire and everything. But when I'm there, I showed up with my F3 after I'd sold it to my brother, right? And the guy who works at the tire shop there recognized me from Barf. He's like, oh, you're Abyss. And I'm like, yeah, that's me. And he looks at my F3 and he's like, wait a minute. Isn't that the bike that got dropped? I'm like, what? He's like, that's the bike that that kid dropped while he was here putting on the tires. And I'm like, what?
Oh, one of the employees dropped
no, no, my brother fucking dropped it. And I'm like thinking back, like, like, when did this happen? Did he just not tell me about it? Like,
of course not.
Did I, when was this? And then I remember he was like, he told me some story about how some woman cut him off and he low-sighted. And I was like, oh. And in my head, I'm like, you're a fucking idiot. How did that make you crash? And I realized he was lying to me because he dropped it on the fucking stand when he was changing the fucking tires at Road Rider.
That's a good lie.
So what did he say when you approached him?
My brother?
Yeah. Did he just deny it?
He was just really embarrassed. I was just like, ah, you dumbass. The fucking tire shop guy ratted you out.
Oh, shit always comes back to bite you in the ass, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Speaking of things on the back of bikes, we were talking to Luke, and you guys were talking about sticking weird stuff on the back of
bikes. I told him about
bikes.
How I put the wheel on the back of my F3.
And he showed us a photograph of, like,
the FJ.
Beer pong
tables. Yeah, it was the FJ, and he had two beer pong tables in the boxes strapped to the back of it.
Yeah, and these things were like three and a half, 4 feet long.
They stuck out a good 2.5 feet past the end of the bike.
Just basically
maybe more.
Had like two bungees across one side, and I was like, how did you live? And how did you keep these on?
You know, I used to go over the Bay Bridge with a bass guitar on my lap. The head just going across the handlebars up into the air.
Did you play in traffic? Were you just like doodle doo doo?
No, that's how I'd go. I'd travel from San Francisco to Oakland with it just straddled on my lap. And I think I just put a bungee around the handlebars right. to keep the neck from flying up on the freeway.
In a sense, that seems way more safe than sticking these giant things on the back with just like really shitty bungees.
Because the whole way I was wondering, like, is this thing staying on? I really hope it's staying on. Because, like, once they filled up with air, it got a lot heavier, and I didn't expect that. I had to stop at my dad's house to get, like, three extra bungee cords to keep it from moving around.
I mean, though, to be fair, awkward shapes are awkward anyway, but, like, you can stick a lot of weight on the back. Well, I mean, I would put my whole, like, camping gear on the back of my CB550.
That's true.
So.
That's true. And I, as soon as I put those bungee cords on it, you know, the additional ones, it, you know, stayed in place really well. I felt it was really safe. And on the way back on 17, I was passing other riders, and they're looking at me going, like, what the fuck?
Douglas, I'm seeing a new competition here at the garage.
What can you strap to your bike?
Who can go around the block with the most shit attached to their
bike? We'll call it a strap-on race.
Yeah! I'm going to figure out how to get like a mattress on my
strap-on challenge.
You cannot, strap-on challenge. You cannot use your verses.
Why not? I like that.
Because you got a milk crate. That's cheating.
I don't have a milk crate.
No milk crate, no luggage racks.
Oh, poo.
No, okay. Because
bobbers only.
Yeah, for bikes not really designed to do that.
I think we need to figure out. I have carried a passenger and their mountain bike on the back of my CB750 before.
But that's like a standard. You should try and do it with only super sports. Now that would be fun.
Yeah. The recycle strap-on challenge.
I like that.
Let's do it.
So we also had another new guy, Cena, and his XL250.
Oh, was that? I wasn't here for that.
Was that the guy with the glasses?
No, he
didn't have glasses. Okay, the guy with the old Honda that we were working on.
Oh, the one with the bent wheel?
The one with the bent forks.
Well, oh, yeah. He came here because it's boggy, and the carbs aren't tuned right. It's not running right.
Well, he asked me about his chain, too, and I had to tell him about his chain.
But when I sat on the bike, the handlebars were pointing in one direction, the wheels pointing in another direction, and the fender is pointing in another direction. None of them were aligned. So I'm like, I can't even get past this. Start loosening everything on the front end up, loosening the bars, the triple trees, the axle. And I'm like, all right, come here, Sina. Here, this is, let me introduce you to a 4x4 post. This is how you fix your front end. Start whacking it. Yep. Whacking it.
Yep.
I oh, we're almost that. There. Whack it. Bang. Now tighten yeah. it, quick.
I've done that before, too.
One of the best tools in the shop, the 4x4 post, fence post, and we never even addressed the problems he had. Oh, and he had a broken turn signal.
Mm-hmm.
Just smashed no bulb in there. And I'm like, all right, so, and there's a fence of old Honda turn signals yeah. over there.
Go grab one.
We just hang them like on a
but
necklace.
They were all 12 volt.
But he can change out the bulb.
Yeah.
But the fact that the whole assembly and the what do you call the plastic, they were all gone.
Right.
So.
Well, the whole lollipop is squished.
But you know, the funny thing is, it's working as well as any of the other lights on his bike. So I'm wondering if they're all.
He has 12 volt. Bulbs
all
in
there
because he has a 6 volt bike.
And I'm thinking because he said that it's boggy. He showed me if you hit the throttle really hard,
it just died.
Dies, right. But he's got a giant foam filter on there.
Yeah.
Like, well, here's your first problem. It's not going to start well when it's cold, and it's probably not even going to start at all if it's raining. So there's your first problem. He goes, well, but this is an aftermarket carburetor. This is a new carb. Doesn't matter.
It's aftermarket.
You know, he told
that's
me
that's always good.
It's
yeah.
got Brondo.
You know,
it's got what plants crave. Brondo. It's got electrolytes.
He told me, I was telling him about his chain, and I said, you got to adjust it by the tightest spot in his chain. Mm-hmm. And what was weirding me out was like, I touched it and it felt kind of saggy, and he rolled it forward and it was like super taut.
Did you do yeah, the so little two finger?
Yeah.
Let me come check hither. Your.
Yeah.
Let me check your chain.
Okay, you're grossing me out.
Yeah, wait, let me finish. Let me
we're
finish.
Not going to have any return.
I'll let you finish.
Go ahead. I'm not going to look at that tongue finger.
I have to tell you guys what he told me. So I'm talking about like, dude,
is this going to make you less creepy?
Yes.
Okay.
So I said, so like, dude, your chain's really stretched out. Like, you need to get like a new chain. And he's like, oh, well, you know, I had it serviced before. And I'm like, what did they do? And he's like, oh, well, it just got really stretched. So they just took out a couple links.
I just did that on my 750, so I'm not going to talk. And I refused to buy new shit. I took a couple links out.
I was just like, dude, it's like it's so tight in this one spot that even if you loosen it just for that, it's just going to flop around like all the time. You need to get a new chain. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, you need to get new sprockets too. I had to explain right, why you yeah. have to get chains and sprockets at the same time.
I do want to yeah. declare that I do have different standards for my different bikes.
Well, you know what you're doing. Like, I don't know
the
if this
Versus
guy knows what
just
he's
went
doing.
To the spa treatment and Ooh. Had all sorts of special stuff done
Hot
that
tub
I paid somebody to do. The rat bike gets links taken out. Just want to establish.
Right. Well, if it's your rat bike, then fine. Yeah.
Well, it was kind of a rat bike, but I mean, like, the thing is, he said he wanted to replace the sprockets anyway, and so I'm just like, you got to replace all of it.
If you're, yeah.
You got to replace all of it.
Fuck up some dough. So we also had Dan came back. Dan, who we did a get to know, like the number two podcast.
I don't remember.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
He showed up on a Yamaha RT1B. Ever heard of that, guys? No.
No. Little two-stroke.
Two-stroke, dual sport.
Yeah,
kind of.
What
do you call
it? How many cc?
350. Thing? Well, huh. 341. No. 341
rounding
to
up
the engine, but yeah,
they always do.
350
it had power issues. We could not
no spark. Okay, can we describe the weirdest thing about this bike?
It had the cylinder head had two holes, two spark plug holes that were threaded,
one
and
coil,
everything. One coil, one spark wire. Plug. I guess you just either screw in another spark plug to plug that hole up, or you screw in a bolt. Now, what the fuck?
Why?
What the fuck? Exactly. I was like, wait a minute. What?
Like, there's something missing here, dude.
One coil wire.
Some days I like to go left. Some days I like to go right. Hey, you know?
That was weird. Like, like you,
bikini one day or maybe not the next. I don't know. But the weirdest thing was that electrical thing that he replaced the coil, right?
Yeah.
So there's two wires going to the coil. And I was reading ground on each one of those wires. So
yeah,
where's the power
to find the
come
wiring
from?
Really?
You need power going into the coil for power to go out of the coil. So where is that power coming from?
Well, and it
because he was not getting any spark. He had electrical. He had electrical. The horn worked. The blinkers worked. The headlight worked. But when he cranked
it, bike stayed here because this will be a mystery. But we're gonna get to know electrical better, Douglas.
Well, we're gonna have to.
Yes, this is how we learn.
Was that you were working? Was that the? Was that all the electric work you guys were doing today?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not the alternator. What the hell's the thing on the left side of the crankcase?
Stator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were working on that. You had.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Just trying to figure out what things to do, and then would walk away. But Dan's a smart guy. He can figure stuff out too.
Yeah, I remember you guys were puzzling over that manual. That was.
Well, I can't find a good schematic to know what color wires should be where, and something's not right. But he said it was running before, so I don't know. And he's got this aftermarket tiny little coil, like the one I put on the XL70 with the Lifan engine. So, but then I brought out I have a single coil from an old Suzuki Savage. We were trying to hook that up just to bypass. I don't know. We're going to continue on that, the mystery of the electrical that. And then you missed it. Flip Flop came by today. I guess I should update people on Flip Flop's bike.
Wasn't he supposed to come back? Did he just take off?
Well, you haven't heard the update. You know who Flip Flop is, right?
Is this after I left? We were talking about him earlier.
Yeah, it was after you left.
And then he came back?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So Flip Flop came over Friday night. Mm-hmm. I actually found him in the parking lot working by the security light. He had to keep waving his arms to turn the light back on. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to pick up my bike. I'll be back and you can pull it in the garage. And I was going to work tonight anyway, so you can work on your bike. And all he had to do was put the clutch back together. So, all right, starting with...
Oh, gosh,
he did.
How far back do you want to go?
His clutch was burnt out. He had to push the bike here. So we got him to buy a new clutch and to put the new clutch in. He put the new clutch in and he only had first and second gear.
After he put it all back together himself.
But the clutch worked great. So ride it home. You got two gears. Bring it back another day. We'll figure out what's wrong with that. He brings it back and we have to take the clutch apart, everything, and we find the transmission, the gear shift.
The gear
fork.
Shift, right. It's a
little
lever.
And we can get all
the
gears to work, but there was like some spring he found in the case floating around and like.
Well, that's always nice.
He's like, what's going on? So we get it to be able to shift through all the gears, puts the clutch back together. You know, each time you have to put the gasket maker on.
Because he doesn't have a paper gasket.
And he also can't afford new oil, so we're using the same oil and filtering it and recycling it through.
Okay.
Just filtering
it's only
it.
Been in there for like 20 minutes, so.
Yeah. Right. So we get it back together, and now he had no clutch. Like, it was just not working at all, but we could get it to shift through the gears.
Okay.
But the clutch wasn't working, and that's when it was like, all right, do go home, come back. And this is when he came back on Friday. And he took it apart, and we found out that the clutch basket has to be in just the right way for everything, for the teeth to mesh. And if you have it, like, a quarter of a turn to the next screw holes,
it won't
mesh right. It won't fall back in all the way. We get that figured out, puts it all together, fills it with oil. We're back to just first and second gear.
Right.
Like, what the hell? But now the clutch is working.
Right.
So I sent him home on Friday.
Right.
I'm like, just go home, bring it back on Sunday.
This is 2 days ago, Friday?
2 days ago. Mm-hmm. So Saturday, I'm here again. Saturday's my day to work on my projects, you know, usually.
Don't come by.
No, people can come by, and, you know, it's an emergency. He comes by pushing the bike up. And he's like, I think I burnt out the clutch again. What do you mean you burnt out the clutch? You couldn't have burnt out the clutch. He said, well, I was riding up Highway 1 and the bike just died on me. And now it won't start.
Right, yes, you did tell me this.
So, what do you mean? I put it into gear, rock it back and forth. It doesn't move. Your clutch is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Go to start the bike and it goes squeak, squeak, squeak as it's turning over. I'm like,
that's a good noise.
Something's really wrong here. Do you have oil? He goes, yeah, I checked it last night. And then this morning I had no leaks. And we're trying to figure it out. I'm hitting the starter button again. It's just going squeak, squeak. I'm like, something's really wrong. We come to find out that his oil plug is gone. He never tightened it. Went driving up Highway 1.
Scenario.
And
it just fell out.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't mention, he had all the gears, but what we had realized was the spring that returns the shifter back to center wasn't engaging. So if you put it in a first, the shifter just stayed down, so it never clicked back up to grab the next gear.
Gotcha.
Or if you shifted it up to second, it just stayed up. It didn't come back to click so that you can keep going up.
Right.
So we knew on Sunday come, there's a spring in there. It must be out of place. We knew what the problem was. So he knew he could shift. You just had to, like, with your foot, push it back down, pull it back up to go to third,
gotcha.
Push it back down. So he managed to get it on fourth.
It's the unstealable bike.
And when I said, so he's got no oil plug, no oil. And I said, well, didn't your oil light come on? And his response was, what's that? So let's just say, for anyone listening to this podcast, all cars, all motorcycles, hell, maybe even tractors for all I know, have a red light. That's the, oh, you're fucked, you ran out of oil light.
And even when if you don't know if it's your oil light, when it goes on, just leave it.
Turn walk the vehicle away. Off. Some vehicles, it's the, you have 3 seconds before I die.
Right.
And some, it's, you're fucked. It's too late. Right. I don't know why it didn't go into
that's when the bike is running. When it's not running, that oil light's going to be on because there's no pressure.
Yeah.
Right.
But if you're riding and that oil light
Megan
comes
told
on,
me it turns on when you put in the key just so you know it's working.
Well, no, there's a pressure sensor in there.
Well, I know. But
when it's not idling,
correct.
It's not engaged.
But right. She said that was so you know it actually works so that right. your
sure.
oil light will yeah. turn on. If it
just like so, yeah. in any car and sure. any, yeah, when you turn the key, it shows you all the lights so that you know they work. And
so we put oil. We went to the automotive store, found a drain plug, put oil in. I made him buy oil because we had nothing to recycle at this point.
Did he have to sell his shoes?
No.
His... what shoes?
I put some
his flip flops. His other
I
pair.
Put in some Marvel's Mystery Oil into the top of the cylinders while we were gone, just to lubricate them and hopefully seep down because it wasn't seized amazingly. Put the oil in, went to hit the starter, and it was squeaking, but then the squeak started going away, and the engine started turning faster and faster and faster, and it started. So then I was like, clank, 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 clank.
It's got to be a warp bearing, or just a hammered out bearing or something.
Probably hammered out bearing.
Yeah.
So I just said, ride it home, enjoy it. You have somewhere between an hour and a year until it dies. I can't tell you when or where. I would recommend don't go on any long trips.
I wanted to go to Oakland for Thanksgiving.
He wanted to go to Oakland for Thanksgiving.
Don't go to Oakland for Thanksgiving. Yeah, take the bus.
Yeah. So, sadly, his little Rebel 250.
I was looking at engines today on eBay, too. They
$600.
Range, they range anywhere from like $452.
Yeah, yeah.
There was one, an older 80s model
and he
engine
said,
for $200.
Well, what, yeah,
he said
what,
he got
I saw that one. What year is his
so.
Bike?
Like a, I think it's an 02.
And okay. I think he got it real cheap. The someone
600.
That might be a really.
That's not, yeah, you know.
Considering it's a Rebel, it might be a really good candidate for the Star Wars speeder bike.
What's the Star Wars
well,
speeder bike?
Well, I think he wants to try and get whatever money he can out of it.
What's the speeder
it's,
bike?
It's really low and it's quiet. So, you know the Star Wars speeders in Empire? They're chasing through the forest moon of Vendor.
It's something he wants to build.
Okay.
I wanted to create a motorcycle.
We need people to dress
like
up as Jawa. Or, right. no, as a... As
Ewoks?
Ewoks, if you want to join in. You get a laser gun. No, they use bows and
that's
arrows
a,
or something.
That's a Wookiee, yeah.
They're anything. Rocks. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Flip Flop was supposed to come by today, but he
where's
didn't.
Where's Donut? Donut's supposed to be here, too.
I know. Well, Donut dropped by.
Maybe he got stopped
left.
Again.
I didn't see him or Flip Flop today. And
yeah,
I was here all
when
day.
When did he show up?
So
no, I didn't.
Donut showed up to bring back the... winter suit he borrowed. So the other night he was here, and he said the next morning he had to get up at like 5 in the morning and ride up to
San Francisco.
We said,
testify.
Take this one-piece winter suit.
All right.
Experience the bubble. Have you experienced a bubble, Lucas?
No, I haven't. You've let me borrow your...
I asked what that was, and...
You haven't experienced...
No, I have not.
Douglas has experienced a bubble. The bubble is a wonderful thing. The bubble is when you have nailed your outfit so that every part of you is just comfortable and warm. You're not overburdened with too many clothes, yeah. But you also have no cold air hitting you. Yeah. And you've created this bubble, and when you go out in a cold, cold time, and you have... You're in this comfort bubble. It's a completely different riding experience.
That's pretty nice.
It's so nice.
It's very nice.
I almost feel like I'm impenetrable. Like, you know?
Is that how dudes with the stish feel?
What?
The Aerostish suit?
Oh. Maybe. I don't know. So he got to experience the bubble. He said it was very nice.
And that suit is enormous, which is hilarious, because it could pretty much fit anyone.
I think it's a snowmobile suit.
Yeah, and it's like a double extra large or something like that. And
let's see, what else did we do? Well, Megan started sanding. Again? Susie sands a lot. Again? Was in action.
Yeah.
One more body piece she found for her bike, the lower fairing. She just couldn't really bring herself to do much.
She could have had that thing on today.
Well, there's no primer left, Doug.
She's done a hell of a lot of sanding. She didn't feel like doing any more.
How thick is that thing? Is it like, you know, if I poked it with a pin when you go through?
No, it's just sanded it so much. It was covered in, it was all the paint she's taken off.
Oh, yeah.
So, we don't have much time left, so I just want to cover a couple different things.
Plenty of time.
The XL70, I got it running with a 125 engine. got it up over 40 going down the street.
Yeah, looks nice too. And you were welding a new
It's got
bracket
a,
for the
Trail 70 exhaust that mm-hmm. the bracket didn't line up, so I had to weld on a new bracket, and it worked. And it's got those moped tires on it, so it's super fast.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to taking it out.
It's right now the exhaust gasket is, and so it's got some issues where it's kind of herky jerky and making weird noises, but it's got potential.
Mm-hmm.
So working on that. And then the XL175, Douglas was trying to do wheelies and pop.
All I did was take it down the road and back to warm up the engine. And the thing, I saw it smoking, the electrical tape smoking on the resistor.
Right.
And
the aftermarket one I put on. That is not made for motorcycles. Yeah.
Is that the right resistor, Liza? Oh, I don't know. I'm just going to throw it on there. Well, that's what happened. It exploded.
Exploded.
I went down the total of about a quarter mile and back, and then it just exploded in the parking lot. And there was like little bits and pieces of it hanging from the
so
electrical
it properly
wire.
Just went bang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like one of those like
party favors.
It's a ceramic something or other wrapped in metal, so the pressure in there just built up from the heat and. And then Lucas went and grabs it.
I'm like, ow! Really
is this one?
So, Mike, you are here
to share your
tale. Now, we told our versions. Megan being on the ride with you. Mm-hmm. Me being in the hospital.
Yeah.
Let's hear your version.
All right. So, so this is the crash I had last Saturday, which is only about 8 days ago. So I was riding with Megan and Robert, and Megan was on the Ninja, and Robert was on the FC6.
His bike. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was riding with my 1974 CB550. We went up and we were riding on 35, the really gnarly bit, the really twisty bit, right where it meets 17. We're heading towards Alice's, and I just that big heavy bike like I can't keep up with them in the corners. So I would lose them in the corners, and on the straightaways I'd catch up with them. So I got to straightaway. It was pretty much when all those cornery bits ended in the first kind of straightaway before you hit this all those nice sweepers and things like that. And I pull out, and they're at the end of the straightaway. It was a couple hundred yards or something like that. And I wanted to catch up with them, and there was a small sedan in between me and them.
What was this sedan doing?
Well, it was, what do you mean? Well, it was riding.
Was it? Oh, it was just, it was.
Yeah, Megan saw it doing weird things. Apparently, before I got there, they were slightly confused and pulled over for a second. And so, but what I know is I got there and there were the two bikes at the end of the road that is, you know, as far as I could see, and then this sedan. And I what I did was I pulled out into the oncoming lane. Because it was clear, it was straight, I would have had no problem passing them, except there was a turnoff for, I think, like a state park or something like that, and it was one of those things where I did that, like, there's a two-thirds chance that, or, like, there's a 20% chance that they might turn into that. No one's going to do that. Don't ever do that if you're listening. And so I pulled out, and the reason I took that chance was because I was doing something else stupid, which was trying to catch up with other riders. Don't fucking do that.
Ride your own ride.
And I was still new to riding with other folks. This was really only my second or third ride with other folks, so I was still quite green. It's my fault, sort of, at least morally, if not legally. I'm throwing that in because just in case anyone from the insurance company is listening.
This probably won't get posted till after you get your
Yeah, it'll be fine. But I pulled out and I accelerated to do the pass. And what happened was this car slowed down a bit. And I didn't see any brakes, but they slowed down a bit. And so I figured, again, doing things I shouldn't do, thinking things that are stupid, was like, oh, they just had two people pass them. They're now sort of sensitized to bikes. They're slowing down because they see me. Never think that. Yeah. The question is, usually, you know, what I should have thought is, why the fuck are they slowing down? Why don't I stick back to see what they're going to do with
that? Slowing down to turn around and hit me.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
That's why Gary J.
Always, said never they're assume. Always slowing down to kill you.
Never assume.
So I made a lot of foolish decisions, and I recognize this. And so I pulled out, and so I was like, so they're slowing down. And so what happens is, and they never actually hit their brakes, but they hit their turn signal as they turn. If you're ever turning, just hit the signal.
That was generous that they used it at all.
You're lucky it was. But it was just, in a sense, it was like, by the way, this is how we're going to kill you. So their lights go on, their turn light goes on as they cross my lane. And so I veer left. They keep going. I keep veering left. And eventually we met and I T-boned them on the shoulder of the road, actually. I swerved all the way over, but I hit them like in front of their front wheel, knocked their bumper off. And so I'm going in, and you know, the only thing I can think is, don't you fucking do that. Don't you fucking do that. Seriously, don't fucking goddamn it. Bam. And that was my thought process.
Earth sky.
Well, no, so I hit the thing, and I stayed conscious the whole time. So I knew I was airborne, and I made two conscious decisions while also repeating them. Someone said to me, that's when you learn how to pray. I said, no, that's when you learn how to curse. And so I said, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck. That was my internal monologue. But I did have two conscious sort of thoughts on top of that, which was, one, close your eyes because you do not want to see what's coming. Whatever it is, I don't want to see it.
So you don't remember looking down and seeing the car underneath you?
No, I shut my eyes as soon as I could, and it was an intentional thing. And then the other one was just go limp. And I went limp, and I remember, and so I remember.
That was really smart.
I know that, and that's partially also why I didn't want to see what was coming, because that would also might cause me to tense up. And so I'm like, whatever happens, fuck it. And so, you know, I'm already in this, so might as well see how it goes. So, but I do remember, it was crazy, because I remember being upside down. I remember being weightless, and I remember, like, my head's down. I'm flipping now. And then, bam! You know, sorry for everyone I just shouted into the mic.
I'm going to have to turn the amplitude down.
I promise you it hurt more. And I just landed on my sort of middle lower back, right on my back pad. And I was about 30 to 50 feet. I can't quite tell from the thing. And it was, and on the upside, I knew that all my limbs worked because I was like tense. I was just gripping and ungripping my hands and moving my legs in sort of this bicycle fashion because I was like, fucking hell, god damn it, that hurt. And I was like, well, if I can use all my limbs to flail around, that's probably a good sign.
Yeah. When I got the text from Megan, that was my first question. Is he conscious?
Yeah.
Yes. Good.
Yeah. Okay. And I didn't even hit my head. I was, like I was saying to someone before, I kind of landed on a sweet spot. If I'd landed a little earlier in my flip, I would have landed on my head or my neck and then just... And who knows what would happen? And if I kept flipping, then I would have landed on my feet or something like that, and just kept tumbling.
So you didn't even need your fucking helmet anyway.
Who needs those things?
Could have left it at home.
I didn't plan on crashing. I need a helmet.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly the lesson to be learned from.
When I crash, save the helmet. I always tuck my head away from.
Right. I tucked my head and I sort of like kind of went sort of fetal lightly,
yeah,
and
helmet.
I was just
that's
like,
what you
so goes, yeah. Save the helmet. That's the most expensive piece on you.
Right. And so yeah. And there's not even a scratch on my helmet. I'm not quite sure. Is like if there's no external marks to my helmet, is it okay?
There's some scratches on you. You want to?
There's some scratches on me. Yeah. So what happened to me is that I hit my knees and scraped my shins. The only gear I wasn't wearing was chaps, so I was just wearing jeans, which are now mounted above the door.
Yeah, they're bare-skinned up on the ceiling.
Bare-skinned up there, and my jacket will be too, because they cut me out of all my clothing. So I hit my knees, which are now all black and blue, and then scraped my shins on my handlebars, and then... When I flipped, I got a little bit of road rash on my lower back because I slid a bit, but not a lot. And then when my heels sort of slammed down on the ground, my right heel, apparently the force just traveled into what's called the talus bone, which is the bone in the middle of all your ankle. And so I have a fracture there. I'm going to go see my orthopedist tomorrow to find out how bad the fracture is.
Are you putting weight on it at all?
No, I'm not allowed to put weight on it. I have a splint that looks like a cast that is more or less a cast, which they put all the way up behind the back of my knee so I couldn't bend my leg. Which was not what they were supposed to do. It was the emergency room. It was late at night. I was the only, to be fair, I was the only motorcycle injury that night.
No,
that,
you weren't.
That was not a brain bleed of some sort.
Jeez.
I was the only pretty much potentially non-fatal.
No, there was the other guy on the 49cc bike that we're not counting.
Oh, right. Yeah, that guy with all the tattoos.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then, so I actually, I took a steak knife and cut off the back of my my cast. Because I couldn't bend
fucking
my knee.
Hardcore.
But yeah, so I have this big cast. I have a slightly broken ankle. It's depending on whether I need surgery or not. It's going to be either 6 weeks in a cast or surgery, then 6 weeks, then 3 weeks, or then 3 months keeping weight off of it.
And what's the state of your bike?
The state of my bike is insurance. It was insured, so insurance declared it a total loss. So they're going to give me the money for that. And, the front fork is bent. The front rim is bent. The tire is of course gone. The, instruments are gone.
I think it'd be easier to describe what isn't screwed up.
Well, everything other than the front end. Well,
we don't know if the engine case is cracked.
Right.
Or not. We know the side case cover is cracked.
The side case cover is cracked. And the one question is whether there is a crack in the crankcase. If there is not a crack in the crankcase, pretty much only the front end is gone. And so we're going to find out. So I bought it back from the insurance for $170. And we are going to find out in the next couple weeks or months, whether it is rehabilitatable.
I think it can be something. It just depends on how much time and money you want to invest.
Yeah. And so, so my thought is, if it makes sense, if it works in my budget, try and rebuild it if it's possible.
Right.
If not, part it out.
Would you consider having two bikes?
What do you mean?
Would you buy a new bike?
Oh, I'm going to buy another bike. Okay, I gotta find out about my income on my budget in the next couple months. But right now, depending on how bad my insurance, how much my sort of medical costs are going to be, which shouldn't be too high because I have good insurance. But
we're already at an hour, so I don't want to go in too long. But I do want to hear, what are some of your contenders?
So the contenders are it was a 74 CB550. It was a jack of all trades, but a master of none. So I learned that I know it's incredibly cliche. That's where this is where I'm going. I learned the things that I couldn't do with it. And so things that, like, for example, I couldn't take the twisties really hard. But I also learned that I didn't really want to do that much work. I mean, like, right. That wasn't my passion. One of the things I did learn was I took it down to San Diego. I took it up to Arcata. I took this bike on long trips. I decided that's what I want. So that's what I want. The next bike is going to be something like a sport tourer. We were talking about BMW K-Series, K75, K100s, or the Kawasaki Concours is what I'm looking at. And the Concours isn't nearly as sexy, but it's sort of easier to repair and easier to keep.
You're gonna want that in the long run. Like, something goes wrong, you're gonna be possible, like, damn these good looks.
It depends on the contenders. Whatever, there's been some good bits on Craigslist for both of them. So, you know, if I find a cheap Beamer, the K100 that you were showing me the other day is unfortunately sold.
Oh, really? Yeah. The blue and white one?
Yeah, the blue and white one. But it's gonna be a couple weeks before I buy another bike anyway. But that's,
you know what BMW stands for? Bring more wallet.
Yeah, so I'd need to buy in at a low enough price that I had sort of a cushion.
Even the fucking maintenance is going to be.
Well, his budget is like $2,000.
Yeah.
So find a sport tourer for under. It's
you would want to. You would want to go Japanese for under.
Unfortunately, you know, the Kawasaki is not nearly as pretty, and they come in awful colors. They come in like
burgundy.
They don't match your pumps. Huh?
They come. They come in these bougie suburban colors like burgundy. And emerald and you know, and like weird like green and red,
that off blue color,
and that off blue, and the black one's nice though.
The best bang for your buck though.
Yeah, and I've been no one's you know, everyone who's ever sat on one has said it is one of the most comfortable bikes.
I wanted one for years and years and years, and I finally had money and like, I'm gonna go test ride one, and it was gutless. I was so heartbroken. Like, this is a bike I've wanted since the 80s.
I'm kind of concerned about that. Yeah.
In like the late 90s. But as I told you, that's because the technology hadn't changed since the 80s.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is why it went for 20 years. $8,000 for a brand new sport tour at the time. This was years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was very, very affordable.
Yeah.
So if you don't need to have that,
and it went from like 89 to 2009 or something like that,
yeah,
with only one change in 94 or something like that.
The only other thing is maybe an ST1100.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the Honda, is it? Yeah.
You can find those, but
a lot of guys I hear are raving about the FJR 1300. If you could find one of those.
Mm-hmm. Was that?
That's the Yamaha. He had the FJ1200.
Okay.
Is the FJR 1300. Okay, yeah. So.
Yeah, it's funny. I'll say one last thing about the bike I'm looking at, because I'm looking at these sport tourers, whereas Liza can attest to this. I couldn't stop talking about cruisers beforehand.
I know.
And now that I'm at, you know, when that was just sort of a wish list, I was like, I want a cruiser.
You want a real bike now.
And now I'm like, I think I want a real bike. But it was partly because I don't have my bike now, and I had to sort of reevaluate, okay, what were the things that I liked about my bike? What were the things I wanted it to do better?
I'm remembering now when we did your get to know, what did you say your up the butt bike was?
I said I didn't know. But for a while I was really hot on that weird new Goldwing, the F6B.
So has that changed now?
Well, you know what changed that more than anything is I sat on it, cuz we went to the bike show, mm-hmm, and I sat on it, and even though it's a trimmed, quote unquote, trimmed down Goldwing, it's a fuckload of machine.
It's a barge of a bike.
It is a barge. I saw the photos. I'm like, it's sleek but big. And I sat on it and I'm like, it's just a big fucker. It's a giant milk crate of a bike.
Well,
you know,
and
so.
You rode a cruiser when we test rode the Victory.
Yeah, yeah.
What were you on?
300? Was it a 300 rear tire or 250?
250 rear tire. We had the 8-ball with
it. It doesn't turn.
And I'm like, oh yeah. And you know, I'm like, thank you for. Oh yeah, there we go. Yeah, counter steering exists.
Just for reference, like, race bikes use 190 rear tires, and this is a 250.
Oh, no, it was insane.
Yeah, it's like a basketball. Yeah.
Though, I mean, the engine was enormous, so it was, I was doing, 60 in second gear or something like that.
I know. Well, hey, we're over an hour, so let's wrap this up. I want to remind everyone, you can like us on Facebook. You can find us at Re-Cycle Santa Cruz. Mm-hmm. That's our shop here.
That's on Facebook, right?
That's on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us also on recyclemotorcyclegarage@gmail.com. You can email us there, or you can go to motorcyclesandmisfits.com. Maybe that's how you found us. Leave a comment. Also, if you're on iTunes, please give us some feedback there. Rate us. We'd love to hear from that.
Anybody sends an email, you get a free t-shirt.
Oh, I haven't checked the email lately. Maybe
hold off on that. We may have an email in there. Check.
Oh, well, if that's the case, I sent an email. Can I have a t-shirt?
No, you don't count.
No.
Wait a minute.
You can pick yours up out of the locker right there.
Okay.
Save on postage.
And I want to give a big thanks to Lucas, who's picking up the editing for us right now while it was always out.
Thank you, Liza. I'm pretty happy to do it. I get to exercise creative control a little bit, so that's always fun.
Okay, no emails. So first person to email us at recyclemotorcyclegarage@gmail.com and say something, anything, I don't care.
No, we'll give you a shout out.
Tell us we suck. We'll send you a t-shirt.
Send you a Recycle Santa Cruz t-shirt. Woo. All right, that's it. And again, this is Liza.
Douglas.
Lucas.
Mike.
A.K.A. We didn't tell him why you got the name Hardass.
Right, yes. Why did I get that
because
name?
Because when you're sitting in the hospital bed, you said, good thing I have a Hardass.
Right.
And I went, ding.
Right.
The LED went off in your head.
The little gear started turning.
Yeah, just as a small funny story, I do remember at some point you were like, what are you doing? I'm like, I got to shake all the gravel out of my underwear. Because
I shuffled down at the end of the bed and you did a little shimmy.
Right, I did a little shimmy.
Tink, tink, tink.
And I'm like, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, I got gravel in my ass.
Maybe we should call you Gravel Ass.
All right, we're out. Thanks.
All right, everybody.
Go.